reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping.
You're now dialed into the Voice of Tor podcast with your host, Luke Hay. The Voice of Tor podcast is brought to you by Westchester Mulch Company and FMF Rental.
Secretly stern as they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup, but he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance.
Hurricane Hills GP, we're going back to where it all started here. We are actually 1 year removed from the inaugural round of Tor, which was at Hurricane Hills. So kind of a, you know, a special moment or historic, you know, kind of coming full circle here. It was only just a little brainchild last year. And here we are now, a full year later, halfway through a full season of racing. And couldn't be any happier with the way the series is going and everything and the way that the community has been receiving it. It's been a heck of a ride so far, so let's keep it going. And without further ado, I want to introduce this week's interview for the podcast. It is the Women's Pro Points Leader. I have Emily Miller on the line. Emily, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what's going on, Emily? How are you tonight?
I'm good. Had a good night so far. Had a good day.
Cool. What would you get into today? We kind of chatted a little bit earlier before we started recording. You said you got a little bit of a plan here for the rest of the week, getting ready for the weekend.
Oh, yeah. We're going to try to ride tomorrow, prep Thursday, and be ready by Friday to leave Saturday morning.
Nice. And where are you guys going to ride? Local?
I have friends that have property out here in Elmer, so we're probably just going to ride out there or just down the road from my house.
Okay, nice. So you got a lot of close places close by that. That leads me into my next question. So we already identified you, Emily. Now tell us, how old are you and where are you from?
I'm 18, about to be 19, and I'm from Elmer, New Jersey.
Okay, the Elmer native. For those of you not familiar, that is where we had the first or second round this year was the Dry Branch 40. And seriously, great event. It was a brand new facility, and I think we had a great turnout. One of the biggest turnouts of the year, actually, was down there in Elmer. What was it like racing in your hometown?
Oh, my gosh, it was crazy. I knew so many faces down there. A lot of my friends came out and supported me. So
nice.
It was crazy out there. The environment was just amazing.
So how far exactly was it from your house?
Less than 10 minutes from my house.
No way.
Yeah, I drove by after work on Friday to check out the track and everything.
Wow, that's you don't get that every day. That's pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, it was awesome.
So what's your racing background like? You've told us where you're from down there and kind of like the hotbed for off-road riding, South Jersey area. What's your racing history like?
I had brothers who kind of got into racing later than most people did because they're a lot older than me. So when I was younger, I kind of was always around the environment since my brothers raced. So I got into it at like 5 years old or so. And I raced for a good couple years. I raced for the Northeast Off-Road Championship, the NEOC.
Okay.
And I raced that until 2016, and they ended up stopping their series for personal reasons. And so I raced until I was like 11-ish years old. And then through 2016 and 2020, I did a handful of races. I ended up playing soccer throughout those years. And then in 2020, I went to a District 6 hair scramble in which I started off really good and then I had bike problems. So then I was like, yo, I want to do another race. I got to get redemption.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing 4 races in 2020 until I broke my collarbone at Dutchman MX. So I was out for 6 months, 2021. I came back on a Super Mini and I raced that year, won the girls class for District 6. Then I raced Woman C in 2022, in which I won that series for ECEA.
Nice.
And in 23, I raced Woman's B class. And then now I'm here racing Woman's Pro class for Tor.
That's awesome. It's been quite a ride, it sounds like, in the past like 3 or 4 years here.
Oh, yeah. It's been amazing.
And you're hooked. You love it. You're never going to stop. Unless, I mean, obviously, We'll get into it a little bit later. You've got some other obligations, but you're hooked, you're racing, you're going to be committed here for the foreseeable future.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to make it out to the rest of the year to all the races.
Nice, nice. Well, you got some points to protect, so you might have a championship here in the bag. We didn't get into that yet, but how does it feel to be the pro class points leader right now?
Oh my gosh, it's something I never thought would happen. The past couple of years I've been racing Kara, and we've been battling neck and neck, and it's crazy at how far we both came. And I grew up with Anna, like, she was always someone I looked up to. So it's crazy to think that I'm beating her now. Like,
yeah,
she's taught me so much throughout my life, and just racing against her is awesome.
So that's a shout out to Annalisa McElhenney and you said Kara Langenbach, right? Those are your big competition.
Oh yeah, Kara and I go way back. When I first started racing D6, we were always battling each other, and
cool.
The past couple of years we were the only girls that got moved up, so we've been racing neck and neck, going, she wins one race, I win another, and it's always been crazy to think of how it's going right now.
Yeah, it seems like you guys are trading places up on the tour podium, and then you said you got Anna, she's still out there competing and winning. I know you, I don't have it in front of me right now. Do you know how many points are separating you guys at the moment? I believe she is in second last time I checked, but I don't know what the points lead is.
I am 13 points ahead and 18 points ahead of Kara.
Okay. So it's still a pretty tight race. That could be, that's one, DNF or one missed race away. You know, we do have our two throwaways and everything, but you still got some competition on your hands here from those ladies.
Yeah, I'm not pulling away quite yet.
Tell me a little bit more about your family involvement in racing and everything. You kind of mentioned that you had some brothers and some family members that were involved. What else you got going on with the Miller family?
So my dad kind of grew up in a household where he didn't have the money to ride. So when my brothers wanted to get into it, he was all for it. He loved being on two wheels and everything. He grew up riding bicycles everywhere. So when we had neighbors who rode dirt bikes, they ended up selling us our first dirt bike, which is what I got one of my first championships on.
No way.
Which was an RM85. So that was crazy. So our neighbors kind of got us into it. And then my brothers growing up, I was always like, I want to ride. But my parents obviously didn't want me getting hurt too young in an age. And
sure,
we don't have the technology. We didn't have the technology 10 years ago or so to get on a Stasic bike or anything.
Yeah,
a Strider.
Yeah, you were learning a little differently. It was kind of just get on and go.
Yeah. So I grew up on a CRF 50 on training wheels. And my brothers helped me along the way to get to where I am right now.
What are your brothers' names?
So I have an oldest brother. His name is Ben. He quit racing a couple years ago to focus on his career. But then my other brother is Jonathan Miller, and he's JM Media.
Shout out JM Media.
Oh, yeah. He takes some awesome videos. He just got a new camera for the video contest. So he's putting in the work, in between motos. And he's giving me some good input. So he rides the moto before I do. So sometimes he'll give me some good tips on what to look out for.
Yeah, you got to love that, having the someone on the team, if you will. You got a team member out there scoping out the track for you, coming back into the pits and giving you the lowdown.
Yeah, I have to give props to him. If it wasn't for him the last race, I probably wouldn't have did as well as I did. He came running to me on the line, and he was like, do this or do that.
Yeah, avoid this, avoid that.
Yeah, it worked in my favor for the best, honestly. Good. I give props to him for that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. That's one of the more unique things about our series and just the GP format, just being able to, go relay that information to your sister and tell her which way to go. You don't really get that with these other types of racing. You know, you don't have much time when you're either on the track together or you're separated by hours at a time. It's just, it's cool that you can come back. And it also that promotes the whole, the whole inclusivity and the whole family vibe too that we're trying to promote with everything. You come back into the pits and you have a minute to hang out and chat real quick with your brother and your dad, and then you're on the track enjoying it for yourself. So just a quick side note there too, just what it's like racing down there with multiple people, your brother, your sister, or a couple of your buddies who are in different classes. It's a lot of fun when you all have a minute to just chat about what's going on back in the pit when nobody's racing. It's different. It's just, unless you've experienced it, it's different. But okay, sorry, I just went off a little bit of a tangent there. So thank you for sharing about the brothers and JM Media. Again, he's up there competing for, hey, he's a racer actually as well, everybody, racer, but he also is, he's been on the podium for the video editing contest. So if you haven't checked out some of his films, check him out on Instagram, JM Media. You can't miss him. He's out there running around with the camera in between race motos. All right, now back to you. This is your podcast, after all. So tell me, what is racing like from a women's perspective on the whole? You've mentioned a handful of other series that you've done, and you're heavily involved in riding. You know, this isn't just recreational for you. You know, you're doing it week in and week out. What is it like being a lady in this sport?
It's a little bit difficult since it's not as big as some of the guys' classes. So when you go out to a race, you might have three or four people in your class. Or as I've had it, I've been the only person in my class, which I feel like that only happens in like the older guy classes. So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, it's bummer.
It can be disappointing, but the environment is so good for the girls. Like all of us, like we aren't at each other's necks. I feel like we all have pretty good connections because we're seeing each other and we're racing each other at every race. So I have a good connection with most of the girls. Like,
it seems like it.
It's really nice that I can like go to a race and I'm not like, oh my gosh, this girl's gonna like take me out or whatever. Like,
yeah,
we kind of like feel for each other. We're like, yeah, we're not as appreciated sometimes. So it's kind of nice to be there for each other when we can be.
Cool. Yeah, I totally respect that. It's that's a shame. You know, like you said there, when you go to a race and you're the only person that shows up for your class, like that's a shame. And I don't think that has ever happened to any of our ladies' classes. Correct me if I'm wrong. Do you remember at all last year when we were just getting started? Did the amateur classes have some low attendance numbers, or what's it been like this year with that tour?
Last year I raced amateur, and I know the pro class only had Anna in the beginning until Kara started racing it.
Okay.
So I never experienced racing alone, but the amateur class has always been pretty stacked, and even the line in general has been pretty stacked. There's been a little bit of low numbers for the pro class recently, but I think that's going to go up either this weekend or when we come back to Jersey, because I assume Cheyenne and Leah are going to be back racing, so that's at least two more girls to add to the books.
Yeah, I was wondering where they were this past weekend. Did they have other obligations?
No, they're just sand fleas. They love their jersey dirt.
Yeah, they couldn't even get out for Bud's Creek. Come on.
I know. They would have killed it. I know Leah would have. She's crazy in moto. She's an amazing rider.
Yeah,
so.
And you got to tell them. You tell them that it was pretty sandy down there, actually. The woods were pretty loose.
Honestly, that was a nice track. It reminded me of Jersey, honestly.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Well, they missed out. Like I said earlier, if you missed it, you missed out. So, more specifically, what's it like racing? We kind of touched there. You said, you know, bumping up from last year from the amateur class, and now you're on the pro line, and it's really just a numbers game, hoping that you have good competition showing up. But what's the vibe for like a woman who has never been to tour? Suppose there's a lady out there who has, you know, never even raced a dirt bike before, but they've heard about tour, they've seen some of the things that we have going on, and, you know, maybe the ladies of tour just to get their feet wet. What can you share to promote our series and, you know, share a little bit just about your experience compared to where you've been, you know, throughout your career? Is it a better atmosphere? Do you think maybe there's some things we could work on? Just spill the beans. What is it like being a lady at tour?
Me personally, I really enjoy it. I think the overall atmosphere of the races is just so much better than like a hair scramble race, perhaps. There's just so much good energy going around. And if you're coming into racing, I think tour is one of the best series to get into, because you're not going a whole hour and a half or 2 hours, or even do the ladies a tour and get your feet wet, you know, enjoy the experience while not being pressured so much by like the racing atmosphere. If you just want to get on a bike and go have some fun. But I do think tour is one of the better series. So you're not putting as much stress on yourself, because and as a lady, like, we typically are slower. So if you're going out and racing the morning class for C, like, there's some crazy fast kids out there that probably should be racing the main, but, you know, sandbagging. So it calms you down a little bit knowing that you're racing against other girls who have the same mindset as you, that they aren't there to hurt anyone and they just want to have fun. And I think that's really cool that you guys have that Ladies at Tour event. Like, if I got injured or something, perhaps I might want to come in Ladies at Tour so that I can get my feet wet so I'm not killing myself first race back. And the 30-minute motos are a lot nicer, too, that you can kind of ease your way back into it. And the women's race is kind of a slower race, perhaps. So, like, in a sense, you're not going super, super fast. Like, you're getting lapped by the pro class or any, like, schoolboy kids. You can kind of race with the older guys and the other girls as well.
So how many people, like, or I know it's a little bit jumbled up here because you race on the pro line now, but there's a couple of other faster kids out there. But again, I think, what was it like last year? I off the top of my head, again, I don't know what the lines are. What is it, young guys or old guys out there for the women's amateurs?
I think it's the older guys. I think it's like C-Vet class.
Yeah, okay,
I would assume.
I think that's what I thought, yeah.
I know I had Mike Siggety racing last year, and he scared the crap out of me. Like, he is an amazing rider, and him coming up behind me, sometimes I'd be, like, moving out of the way to make sure I'm not ruining his race. Huh. So it's kind of nice that they switched that up. So nobody's really catching me, and I'm only catching a handful of people towards the end of the race, like last lap or so.
Right. So it's a safe atmosphere out there, especially on the racetrack and everything. But how about from, like, start to finish? You know, you said positive energy. You're walking in the gate. You're looking for a parking spot and everything. You know, you hop out. Like, is it in welcoming? What's the first thing you see when you pull up to the tour race? What's the first thing you're looking for?
Most of the time, it's Sammy. We usually go to him for where we want to park because he's Mr. Know-It-All and knows all the good spots. He got a good spot for us last time at Bud's.
Nice.
But I just love the environment. Like, everyone's so welcoming. Like, me being a woman in racing, I feel like I know a lot more people. So everyone's like, I have a good group of friends that if I park somewhere, like, we'll park together sort of thing. And we'll kind of just gather around, have like a late night and just hang out and whatnot. So I think that's pretty cool that, like, that gives the opportunity to do that. Most of the time, because there's a lot of parking, besides at the Elmer, that was unfortunate. That got pretty packed.
Yeah, but it did. Yeah, we learned a little bit about that one. We know now I believe that parking has almost doubled since we've been there last. Don't quote me on that, but there has definitely been some new parking, but cut in from what I understand. But, yeah, so that's cool. It's just, unless you've been and you're, you know, you've experienced it, you know, this goes for just like race weekends across the board, not just at tour, but that sense of, you know, family and community. You get to, you know, maybe you don't go to school with these people or you don't live close by, but you get together, throughout the week, maybe to ride or on the weekends. But then, you know, like on race weekends, you're going to see each other. And, like you said, it's those late nights around the campfire and, you know, you don't have to have some fancy big camper or, you know, $1 million rig sleeping in your car or in your tent, you know, come one, come all. There's no right or wrong way to do it. Just run what you're brung and, you know, you'll start to make some friends around the racetrack, bring your buddies, you know, bring your family and just set up shop for the weekend. It's, you know, that's at all of our races, you know, you come out and camp and everything. And, you know, next thing you know, you start fostering relationships and, you know, kind of like you said, you just have those late night, you know, get-togethers, hanging out before the you know, the race day, sitting around the fire, kicking it. Those are just some of the best times. And for me, that's basically why we do it. You know, it's the race day is fun. Don't get me wrong. I love riding and everything, but it's really more so that camaraderie, you know, just being around the pits and everything and seeing everybody and chatting with your buddies who you don't get to see too often. But, you know, they're your riding friends and your race family. Do you feel the same way about that kind of thing? Does that kind of sum it up?
Oh yeah, like just being around all the friends that like I've grown up with and the new friends I've made. Like I feel like a lot of people come from PA, so it's kind of hard to see them during the week, especially with people starting school or starting college.
Sure, yeah.
That's definitely been harder to make plans, especially with summer being over. So it's definitely nice to see your friends' faces on the weekends and being able to hang out and have those good relationships and whatnot. Like, I don't get to see Kara because she lives 2-3 hours away from me. So I love seeing her on the weekends. Like, I wish I could go ride with her sometime, make each other better. But, you know, those race weekends, we're biking the track together and everything. And learning it, the what we could do to be better as riders.
Yeah, so you kind of touched on that. It's a kind of a weird, a little bit of a transition period for you and for a lot of others right now. You mentioned, you know, college and going back to school and everything. And so I believe you just graduated high school and you have got some big plans here in front of you. Tell all of our listeners and all your fans, what is the next step for you?
I am going off to basic training soon in Texas. So I will be joining the United States Air National Guard, and that will be for Delaware since it's closer for me. But I enlisted as a firefighter.
Wow, that is amazing. So you're going to serve your country. You are still a teenager, and you still love racing dirt bikes. It seems like, you know, you're kind of still a kid, but you're taking a big, big step here. You know, so hats off to you. That's amazing. And, you know, if you didn't have a lot of fans and a lot of followers and support, you know, out at the races now, I know once this starts getting around that you're going off to serve, it's going to get you, you know, right up there on the, you know, in a lot of people's hearts. And I'm sure you're going to gain a lot of fans for this. Not that that's any good reason to do this, but I know that, you know, like I said, we have that sense of community and a little bit of that race family. And I know you're going to be in everybody's thoughts and prayers. And, you know, just kudos to you for making that ultimate decision. So walk us through that. Tell us what made you decide to join.
So I had a cousin who was in the Air Force. She went reserves and then went active duty to serve. And she gave me the opportunity to tour the base. And when I did that, I got into contact with a recruiter, and he got me taking the ASVAB and went to MEPS and everything, and I passed all that. So he gave me the job list, and I was like, well, this job seems cool. Well, I didn't meet the physical requirements, so he's like, hold up. I got to show you this before you decide anything else. And it was the fire protection unit, and I just fell in love. Like, the whole atmosphere was just so funny. It was so nice, and I kind of felt like home there. So I enlisted as a firefighter back in, I think, late June, early July.
Any firefighting experience in the past?
My dad was a volunteer firefighter.
Okay.
He grew up down the road from a firehouse. So I tried to get into it, but I never had the time with school and sports and everything. So I, along with firefighting, oh my gosh, I just lost my train of thought.
Sorry, I picked your brain there. That's my fault.
No, you're good. So I kind of just tried it out. I went to drill weekend, and I just fell in love with it. It was just so cool. And they had told me they had a live burn situation and that I was able to go watch or participate if I wanted to as much as I could, just to get my feet wet a little bit. So that was this weekend. We went out to Westchester, Pennsylvania, and they did a live burn, and they got me all geared up and everything, gas mask, whatnot.
Hold up. Back up a second here. So you were in town, you were in my town, and we didn't know about it. Well, you said this was last week?
Yeah, this was Sunday.
I know exactly where you were. I don't even have to ask the questions. So you were up there burning like behind the mulch piles or whatever. There's a bunch of junk up there. Pallet burn. Was it First Westchester and who else would have been there? Goodwill. Was Goodwill out there with you? Those are all the local Westchester people. Fame, Goodwill. They got a white truck, then there's a yellow truck, and then the red truck. I'm not a nozzle nut myself, but I do know one or two from the area. So that's too funny, though. I know exactly what you were doing up there. I would have never guessed. So, again, who did you get connected with, and how did you end up there?
It was my cousin. Her name's Camry Pereca. She's one of the desk ladies, and she got me into the base and everything and a little tour, and I just fell in love with it. Like, it was such a cool thing. You think of the military, you think of guns and army and yada yada yada, not firefighting. I thought that was a cool opportunity. They let me use the hose and everything. They probably weren't supposed to, but it was such a cool thing. Everyone was so welcoming. Like, they knew I didn't know too much, so sure, they helped me, and it was just such a cool experience. Like, just everyone guiding me and knowing that, like, this is going to be like a future career possibly that I could do. So
nice. Well, that's awesome. And kudos to coming up here to Westchester. Shout out to the hometown And again, shout out to you for taking this giant step and, you know, one, serving your country, and two, learning a new skill and, you know, broadening your horizons. It's truly amazing. And, you know, it sounds corny. You know, I'm not that much older than you, but, you know, when people tell you, you know, you got the world at your fingertips when you're this old, you really do. And, you know, it sounds like you have made an awesome decision to pursue some pretty ambitious goals. Speaking of goals, we're not quite there yet. You know, you're not ready to. Do you have what was the date? What are we looking at? When do we lose you to basic training?
We're still figuring that out. I just got my military ID this morning, so hopefully we're getting word soon that when I could leave for basic training. But I'm hoping it'll be at least early December so I can get through all the races. Sure. But I'm crossing my fingers that I can make it to the banquet.
Okay, yeah, that'd be a bummer if we missed you then. It would do all this hard work and then miss the party.
Yeah.
So, real quick, back to racing and everything here. We don't want to give you away to the Air Force just yet. They were the Air National Guard, rather. But tell us about your goals for this season, coming into it, and right now for the remainder of the time that you have left. What are your goals?
So in the beginning of the season, I actually sprained my ankle at like one of my first races, which was a U.S. Sprint Enduro. And I was like, oh no, this is going to set me back the entire year. And I just tried to work through it. And I ended up just trying to push through like all the pain. It hasn't been bothering me too much lately, but my goal for the season was to just try to make it through, like just have fun with it. Like I'm ending school and everything. I have to figure out what I'm doing after school. So at this point, my goal is to make it through the year safe, get to basic. But I just want to have fun with it. Like, I don't want to put a whole for myself. Like, oh, I got to. It's.
Oops, I'm losing you, Emily. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I lost you there for a second there.
Oh, my bad.
Right, no, I don't know what happened. That must have been my phone there. But it was something right before basic you were saying. It was like just the last 30 seconds.
Oh, so. Rough beginning, and then I don't know, just trying to have fun with it, like before I go off to basic, trying not to get hurt or ride too much over my head and crash. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. It's more like my goal season is trying to have fun, and I'm not trying to win a women's pro championship, but if it happens, it happens. I'm not going to complain about that. So I'm just here for the fun of it, the environment, and just riding dirt bikes. That's all I love to do.
I love it. Yeah, perfect attitude. Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. You gotta, you know, just come out, have fun, and but if I win the pro class championship, it happens, but no, no big deal.
Yeah,
that's awesome, man. So did you, like, coming into the season, did you think you had a possibility to, you know, rack up enough points for this, or what did you think coming in right off the bat?
Well, I had no idea I'd be in the situation right now. The first race of the year, I was on a 125. I wasn't even on the 250 yet. And I just got absolutely smoked. Like, first race, it was like Cheyenne Phelps, Leah Rains, Carly Lee, like Kate Nash, Kara, like
some
just stacked pro class. And I'm like, I'm going to get my butt whooped this season. And so even with Anna there, I think I got like fifth the first race. And I was like, this year's going to suck. I thought I was prepared. And I was in for a beating. So
you're too hard on yourself.
Yeah, I was just putting in the work, like trying to do the best I could each race, getting better and better. And I ended up getting sick like right before Bear Creek, I think.
Oh,
it was.
No, yeah.
And I had like the worst race. I'm like, this is going to kill me. Like, my points are going to go down. But it was like, it didn't even impact me that much. Like, I was just way too over my head. I was like, just thinking about things way too much. And I was like, what am I thinking? I'm just here for the fun of it. Like, I'm just here to ride my dirt bike.
Yeah, it sounds like that's a vibe I'm getting from you. It sounds like that's this the your mindset. It sounds like if you might overthink a little bit too much, but then once you reel it back in and realize you're just here to have fun and ride your dirt bike, I think that's when you're getting your best results.
Oh yeah.
Who's your big support system back at home? Who, you know, you got your brothers and everything, you know, coming out and racing. But who's supporting you? You know, what's the family support, and is there anyone else behind the scenes who's, you know, in your corner?
So I have to give a big shout out to Chris Bass, Chris Bettiges, and Tucker Bettiges, his son, because they do so much bike work for me. Like, my dad's not too much of a handyman, so they do most of my bike work, clean it up, and get my bike all ready. So I have to thank them. My dad's been my biggest support system and my wallet, honestly. So I can't thank him enough for how much he's done for me, taking me to races and all that, supporting me, cheering me on, and taking videos of me at the races, because it really does mean a lot. And then my older brothers, they've supported me, being at the races or not. They've cheered me on and encouraged me throughout all these years that I've raced, as well as my mom. My mom doesn't come to races as much. She went to the Elmer one since it was so close, but she gets car sick, so she doesn't like traveling too far. So she supports me. She'll text me in between motos and give me calls and everything. So
and I hope
she supports on the sidelines.
I hope she knows how important it is to your dad too, because he's one of my favorite fans. I know it can be tough when you have these race weekends and you're leaving home every weekend to go and race and everything, and it becomes your life and it consumes you and everything, and that can kind of get you know, it can become a love-hate relationship within the families and everything. And I just say that to say that I hope your old man gets it easy at home, because he loves watching you guys race. He's one of my favorite fans. I know, like, as soon as I've seen you guys a couple times pulling in, or I see him race like early in the morning, and he has got a huge smile on his face. He's just happy to be there with you guys. And that's what it's all about. So when I see that stuff like that, you know, that gives me that warm and fuzzy feeling. So shout out to your old man, because he rocks.
Oh, yeah. He's been there through thick and thin. I grew up racing with him. He's always called me his little girl. So it really warms my heart that he still supports me after all these years. And he puts in a lot of work in and out of the bike, and working 14 hours a day, truck driving, and then still taking me to the races after all these years. It's been just me and him sometimes. It's been me, him, and my brothers. And so I can't thank him enough for, like, how much he's done for me. Like, paying for stuff and supporting me and getting me all the help I need that I can get.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's unless you live it, it might be a hard addiction to understand, but that's the way it goes. And I love to hear you say that, because it's just cherishing those memories with family. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're working so hard to promote this series. And we want everybody to come out and have fun and spend time with your loved ones and make some, everlasting memories.
Oh, yeah. I think the first race he missed of mine was this year.
Oh, no.
And it was crazy, because I ended up going to a race with Tucker, and my dad couldn't make it because it was just so far. Mm-hmm. And it was the first race my dad wasn't there, and it was so odd. I'm like, I don't even know how to feel. Like,
oh, man.
It feels like nobody's cheered me on. It's just because my dad wasn't there.
And I'm sure he was beside himself, too.
I know. He was, like, calling me, like, how'd you do, and everything. Yeah, yeah. I'm, like, trying to talk to him without any service, and it was crazy.
Yeah, you're serious. Yeah, super fan. Love it.
Yeah, he's been there so much. I can't thank him enough.
That's great. Love to hear that. All right, well, we've been on here for close to about, almost wrapping up on 45 minutes here, 40-ish minutes. I don't want to waste your whole week or your whole night here, but I always wrap up these interviews with the rapid fire questions. I don't know if you've listened to any of your interviews with some of these other guys I've had on here, but they're pretty, they're easy questions, nothing too crazy. Just gives a little bit of more insight and background, and just some fun, light, airy questions here to wrap things up. So, you ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, number one, right off the top, favorite rider of all time?
Of all time, I would have to say Trey Kinnard.
Really?
But I have to add in, like, recently, Chase Sexton has been up there on my list because he's been doing really good.
You're,
I know,
too
he didn't
young
do the
to like Trey Kinnard.
What do you mean?
When was the last time he was relevant?
Probably when I was like 8, when I was in my prime.
Yeah. Oh, man. Sorry. Go on. I apologize.
But yeah, I would say, like, as an overall Trey Kinnard, but like recently, since like I've been getting into like Supercross and all that more.
Yeah, enjoying watching it.
Yeah, I would have to say Chase Sexton. He's been, like, a real character to watch. Like, his character and his, like, modesty, as well as just his overall style of racing, is just so smooth.
Yeah,
and
love.
I know he has his front end tucking and whatnot, but I still support him thick and thin.
Love it. Yeah, that's awesome. That's actually a pretty thoughtful answer, because sometimes I get some... Sometimes people have a good one, but that Trey Kinnard, that's a nice pool. I appreciate you going into your moto files there, if you will. That means it shows you're a true fan.
I try.
Okay. All right. Next one. Electric dirt bikes. Are you a fan or not?
That's a tough one because I've ridden an E-Ride Pro and Suron recently, and they're really nice bikes. But as an overall, I would have to go with no due to the longevity of it because I can ride my dirt bike for hours, like debating on speed and whatnot, but the e-bikes just don't last as long. And for the expense of everything, like if I had to get a second battery, that would be so expensive compared to just putting gas into a bike.
Right, right. Okay, fair enough. Good answer there. Yeah, don't want to see any e-bikes. Don't like e-bikes. not hate on anybody. I say it every time. I am a slight hater, though.
They are cool. They are cool, but not for as a whole sport. They're good for a hobby, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want to see them be a an industry killer. You know, I'm a two stroke guy till I die. So, you know, the less and less of those we see, it's a little bit difficult.
All right, broke my heart to get off my 125.
Oh yeah, that leads me right into the next question here: two stroke or four stroke?
I loved my 125. It handled so well, but I love my 250 even more. Like getting on that, how smooth it is and how much power it has coming out of turns. It's just there. And I don't know, I'd have to go with four stroke on that one.
So what did you come off of and what are you riding now? What's your weapon of choice?
I had a YZ125. It was a 2021 and that was the Woods model. So it was the X, and that thing handled so great, but I was riding against all these girls on 250s and I just felt like overpowered for how much energy I was putting in. So that 250 just gave that bottom end and it was just there. So I have a CRF 250 RX right now. I think, don't quote me on that. That's a 22, but
you got the 250 Honda. That's what you've been racing.
Yes. That's what I've been racing.
Got it.
It's been pretty good to me. The clutch has caused me a couple problems in the past, but we're starting to work on it. And I just learned that I got to go faster and the clutch won't give me problems.
As you still think you're on that YZ. You're still trying to wring it out there, holding your baby in the clutch, it sounds like.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Next question. Flags or bark busters?
I would have to go with flags. After what I saw Michael Ruff go through at the last tour race, oh. I don't know if you heard about that. His arm got stuck in his bark buster and it snapped his forearm. Don't quote me on that.
I did talk to Michael, but he didn't tell me that. You know, I caught up with him the day after when I saw him all wrapped up in there in the sling, and he did not walk me through the details though. But that's what it was. It was the bark buster.
I think it was, but I've heard so many horror stories about that. Yeah, and
that would be the first time that I'd ever actually known someone that it happened to. I've heard the horror stories, but I've never known anyone actually have that happen.
But yeah, so me personally, I'm not hitting trees like 100 miles an hour. So yeah. The flags do me just fine. Like I don't have too many problems with it. So I enjoy the flags a lot more, especially since I had problems with bark busters in the past. When I was on my 125, I was at New Jersey Field of Dreams, and I had a wicked crash. Like, my bike swapped on me in the air, and I just landed super hard, and my bark buster made my throttle stick, so I couldn't even ride the bike.
Oh, so no
way. We had to take off the bark buster completely for me to finish the race. So that was when we decided to switch to flags, just for convenience, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, it's a hot topic right now, and I love it. I love stoking the fire here because you're right on trend here with what a lot of off-road riders are, switching over to flags. And I learned my lesson. I don't know if you heard in the last podcast. I tried to use flags at the Rattlesnake National Enduro this year, and I crunched my fingers like in every single test. And
ouch.
I am going right back to the bark busters, getting the full wraparounds on there. I don't know how guys do it because it's, I don't know. Just, I feel like I grew up with them and always had them on. I feel like it was when we were younger, it was one of those things where it was like more or less to kind of like protect your levers because you're always falling a lot more when you're younger. But I don't know. It's a nice topic for debate, and I like that I have this platform to ask riders because I just started on the last one. Ranger was my last question or last person I asked it to, and he said the same thing. He's running flags as well, so that's two for flags. So we'll have to stay tuned for the next one, and we'll see who's on here if we can get some full Barkbuster guys on here. But again, this is supposed to be rapid fire questions, and I'm just here running my mouth. I apologize. All right, I'm going to wrap it up here with one more rapid fire question. And this one, it's another riding-related question, and I thought about this one earlier because it's another one of those debatable topics that we have in the pits with our buddies. Roll-offs or tear-offs, which do you prefer and why?
Recently, I'd have to go with tear-offs. Since I got used to pulling them, I used to use roll-offs all the time, and I used the 100% ones, and they just caused me so many problems. The film would fall out, the lenses would break off, and just
gotta
the visibility.
Scotch. You gotta run Scott, just saying. Yeah. The official goggle of tour.
I was gonna try them out. I almost did. So, I think the overall visibility of just the 100%, I do have to try the Scotts out, but the visibility on the 100% is just terrible. Like, I would rather just ride without goggles at that point.
Oh,
and just
bummer.
With how they're like so sweaty, like I will just fog them up like mid race, so I don't even finish wearing them anyway. So I would have to go with tear offs because I just got started used to like pulling them off not ripping them all off at one time. So right now it's tear offs, but if I try the Scott ones, I'll definitely probably change my mind about that.
Okay, fair enough. I like it. Well, I'm glad I asked then. Yeah, you got to try a pair of Scotts unless you have some sort of affiliation with any other goggle company. You got to get hooked up with a pair of Scotts. But
oh, yeah. I'll probably have to see the tour store the next race, hopefully.
You got it. Thank you. That was my next plug. We're going to have to put you on the payroll here. If you don't have a pair of Scotts yet, head on over to the tour store. We do have a nice agreement with Scott, and we are able to offer you guys, I believe it is the Prospect and the Fury, or perhaps it's both. I'm not sure exactly. I should know about what I'm talking about here before I try to plug them. But stop by for all your Scott products. We got the goggles, tear-offs, and lenses, as well as grips. If you need a pair of grips, stop on over to the tour store, a.k.a. the merch trailer. So thank you for the plug there, Emily.
Oh, yeah. I just bought like $100 worth of t-shirts last time I was there. So
Same here. Yeah, my wife, we were cleaning out the camper. When we got home, and I found my wife's stash, and I was like, did you guys, like, rob the store? What happened? I was like, why do we have seven of everything?
I brought home, like, two Bud's Creek shirts, like, three of the tour
had to get
shirts,
those shirts
from that race.
They were too cool. I'm wearing it right now, actually. I'm wearing my purple one, but I have a green one, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I got one for one of my friends who's in the Army. He's like, you gotta get me a racing shirt. I'm like,
cool.
I got you, bro.
Cool.
This is the perfect shirt.
Love it. Yeah. There, another shout out here to the tour store. We have all types of merchandise, and it's always changing, so always stop by the tour store right next to registration at every round.
Oh, yeah. I got, like, one of the gift certificates from the Mailroom, and I spent it all the next day. all of it.
Nice.
So worth it, though.
That's great. Yeah, love it. Yeah, you got to be representing everywhere you go. Make sure you're sporting your tour gear. All right, Emily. Well, like I said, I don't want to ruin your entire night here. We're coming up on an hour, and this has been an awesome conversation. You've been a great interview. You always are. I love having you up on the podium. And I don't think it's going to be the last time or any shortage. I think I'm going to have you up there real soon. We have the Hurricane Hills GP. This is, again, where we had our first ever tour race, and that will be this weekend. And you'll be looking to extend your points lead here. And like I said, it's been a great interview, Em. Do you want to give a shout-out to anybody else here? Go through my typical podium interview questions here. Who do you want to give a shout-out to, and who do you support? Or who supports you? But no, I'll leave it out there for you. It's all you, Emily.
All right. I just have to give a shout-out to Chris Biggs and Chris Bettiges for working on my bike, as well as Tucker. He did a lot of bike work, especially for helping me sell my 125. I have to thank Race's Edge for getting me all the parts that I need, because I just stopped there today and get some more stuff. I have to thank my family and all my friends who support me. I would not be here without them, and everyone who cheers me on, takes videos, like does anything during the race that helps me. It honestly means so much, because I wouldn't be here today without any one of those people.
Awesome. Well, Emily, great job.
One more thing.
Oh, here we go. What do we got for me?
Shout out to Paulie Walnuts. He has been a real one. He he's just a cool guy. So I have to put that out there.
He's a good dude. So what happened? Why you got to give Paulie Walnuts a shout out? I love shouting him out.
He's just a cool guy. I was talking to him a lot at the last race, and he was texting me I was real nervous for this interview. So he was texting me you just got to breathe. Like, you'll be fine. You talk to people, like anyone, like no problem. This will be fine. And I was like, okay, thanks, dude. So I have to give a shout out to him. And I might've said I would have shouted him out. So,
oh, nice. Nice. Well, you know what? This sounds like Paulie is trying to get his foot in the door. It sounds like he wants to get an interview is what it sounds like.
Pretty much.
I'm surprised. You know, you put on a pretty good face. I'm surprised that you were a little nervous for this. You know, it's like, if this was our first time doing this, but I feel like you have been on the podium since our first like weekend. So it's even though we don't know each other really like personally, I feel like I do know you. It's like, again, it goes back to that race family and like just that culture. So yeah, that's too funny though. Well, you did fine. You did an awesome job. And I'm sure this is going to get it's going to be well received. I think people are going to be happy to hear from you. And, you know, we want to promote the women's racing and everything here. So we're doing everything we can for you. I don't want to say just like the ladies in general, cause that just sounds weird, but I just like, we want more women to come out and race at Tour. We love you guys. And we have a place for you. Like you said, whether you're on the pro line or doing the ladies of Tour, which again is just it's a fun ride. I didn't get a chance to touch on that, so I will right now. The Ladies of Tour is just something we do either on Saturday evening after if we have a doubleheader or a peewee race that day. We do it in the evening once all the racing is finished. You can ride a pit bike, you can ride an e-bike, you can ride a full-blown race bike, whatever you want. It's just something to offer some track time to the ladies who come out and either are there supporting maybe their children, their sons, or they're there for their husband and for any reason, or maybe they just want to try to ride their bike. It doesn't have to be because you're there to support anybody. Maybe you just want to come and get your feet wet. Come check out the Ladies of Tour. It is an inclusive and fun event for everybody. So shout out to the Ladies of Tour and shout out to all of our ladies racers at Temple Off-Road and all of the moms, girlfriends, and wives, and daughters, and everybody who comes out to support, because we couldn't do it without you guys. And again, Emily, I appreciate your time. Thank you for checking off all your sponsors there and all the people that support you, including Paulie Walnuts. Paul, I'll be shooting you a DM here. I know what you're up to. But all right, Emily, great interview. You did an awesome job, and I'll see you this weekend.
All right, yeah. Thank you for having me. I had so much fun.
Yeah, no doubt, Em. All right, we'll catch up with you later.
All right.
All right. Have a good night. This is an unsolicited call to Todd Temple.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, Todd. What's up, dude?
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing well here. I'm just sitting in my garage. I just got off the phone with Emily Miller.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. Cool. Yeah, she did a great job. Did a little podcast interview, and that is actually why I'm calling you. I hope I caught you at a good time, because you are live right now on the Voice of Tour podcast.
Oh, boy.
I figured I might catch you by surprise. That was my idea here. All right, buddy. Yeah. So I got to check in with you here. We're about to go back up to Hurricane Hills. Not a lot of people get to hear from you. You are kind of the man behind the scenes doing all the hard work, doing the nitty-gritty stuff, and you know, more or less busting out your wallet to make sure that these tour events get put on. And I thought this would be a good opportunity to check up with you because, one, all of our tour staff was egging me on about it, but two, it's kind of a monumental weekend here. This is one full year of Temple Off-Road Racing. We are right back to where it all started at Hurricane Hills, and I figured it would be a good opportunity to ask you, what is going on in your brain, man? Are you having a good time, or are you thinking you're going to start going and doing something else on the weekends?
That's a good question. I do enjoy it. I know Kim enjoys it. We always wanted to put out Tegan wanted to do this, so we wanted to put out a good product. I'm here with Kim now, and I don't know. We just wanted to put out a good product. We've raced for a long time. You know that.
Yep. So you've been racing your entire life.
Good racers, bad races, kind of seen all the products out there. And we thought we could helped Tegan create a good series and a local series. Kind of a two-prong attack was, you know, one is a high-level series, like a national feel at a local level to give people an idea what national events are like. And the other one is to improve our riders. We've been to all kinds of places to race, especially the J-Day series up in New England. They have a high level of competitors. I don't think our guys or used to have a good pool of young talent here. I think it's limited now. I think places to ride and train are tougher and tougher all the time. But mm-hmm. I'm hoping this series will make better riders for our local guys here. Maybe someday they'll be in the national spotlight, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. I always say that. It's not a joke. I always say we're trying to promote that national feel here at the local level. And you guys have so much experience to do that. You know, you've been to all the nationals, the AMA nationals, the GNCCs. You've been racing since you were, what, in your teens, your early 20s?
Yeah, I started a little bit late in life, unfortunately. I didn't have the opportunities. I do love riding. You know, I did love racing for a long time, and now I do still love riding and going out with, you know, family and friends, just riding, have a good time. You know, sometimes I've been out with you mm-hmm. as well, and that's what I really enjoy at my age now.
And and you also you pass this gene on to Tegan. You enjoy going out and swinging the machete. You like cutting trail. You have an eye for it.
I do. It's kind of a break from work, the stress of work. It's mm-hmm. It's a release, and you know it's kind of, you know, pleasurable to do something different than
sure.
you know, drive a truck or sit behind the desk and stress out over stuff. It's a good release for me.
And what is that you do daily? I know people see the trucks, but people might not be familiar. What does Tour run on?
FMF Rental is a small trucking company. We used to have Frames Motor Freight, was a bigger trucking company, but we closed during that recession time, and we opened up renting storage trailers and then got in storage containers, and then a lot of customers called and we got back into trucking. I don't have as many trucks as we used to do a smaller niche market mm-hmm, now. Mm-hmm. But if you're in the you know, warehousing business or construction business, or we could have a trailer for you if you need space, or a container, or at a job site. And it's helped Tegan finish out his racing career, and it's helped us promote this new series. And there's a lot of the sponsors, you know. Buehler is great to us.
Of course.
You know, even
our
the other
sponsor,
one.
That's Buehler Equipment.
Yep, he's been great. He's the guy who loves the sport, too, and wants to grow the sport and back us. So it's great to have him on board. Plus, all even smaller, you know.
Yeah, they all count, company. All of them. Yeah, if I had the list in front of me, I would shout them all out. But
yeah,
I usually save that for race day. I'll have to do that. That'll be maybe one of the things I'll add in here on this podcast.
Yeah, they help us. They help certainly. Us whatever we can. You know how it takes a lot of money, unfortunately.
Yeah, and manpower and fuel, and you know that's what you sure. know. We would be nothing without FMF because of the fact that for one, all of our equipment, all of our storage, we have all of our flags, all of our stakes and our cones and all the tape, anything you guys can imagine that it takes to run a series. Well, it has to get to every round, and that is through FMF that goes behind in one of the big tractor trailers. And then of course we also have all of the track equipment. We've got two skid steers, we got a couple of side by sides, we got some you know, this big generator light tower. So it's a big undertaking, and without having FMF and you know, the tractor trailers and everything, Tour really wouldn't exist. So obviously shout out to FMF, and a quick shout out to Frames too. If I remember correctly, I think it was 2012 when Frames shut down, and I think at the time it was it like 104 or like 107 years old? I know it was over 100. Do you remember what the exact
we were the oldest trucking company in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and I think honestly in the entire country, I think you guys were in the top 10 as far as age goes.
It could have been. I'm not sure. It was 1870. It was horse and buggy. And it just grew from there. So
yeah, crazy. It's a crazy story. And here we are today.
Yeah. We enjoy it. You know, it's a lot of work, but it's kind of a love gun. mm-hmm. you know, and
for sure.
And we've learned a lot. You know that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're there.
Yeah. Every weekend we learn a little bit more.
We do. We do. And I tell you, it's crazy because, you know, I'm just standing in one section. You know, you're announcing. You got Sammy at the start. You got the girls at registration. You got Tynan in the scoring trailer. And you just count on everybody doing their job. And I mean, we do set the bar high. And
yep.
We get critical sometimes, but we're just trying to turn out a good product, you know. And hopefully the people enjoy it and have a good time.
Yeah, at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to deliver. It's sure it's fun, but it's hard work for us. But ultimately, we want to give the riders and the race fans a good product, like you're saying. It sounds kind of funny calling it that, but that's from our side and your side. That's what we're doing now. We have paying customers, and we're trying to make sure that they're happy with good trails, good events, a hospitable environment and a safe environment. And at the end of the day, somewhere to go and have fun on your dirt bike with your family. So
that's for sure. We try to make that extra effort. Mm-hmm. I know some facilities don't allow us to do as much as we want. They're limited, you know. But I think we found a lot of new places, you know.
For sure.
This past year, people haven't ridden that. And, I hope that grows. You know, I think one of our goals is we want to do possibly 12 or 13 rounds at different locations, all different locations.
Yep.
Next year. I don't know if that'll be possible, but that'd be a great goal to do, you know?
Yeah. Nothing stopping you. It seems like, I know more people start to crawl out of the woodworks, you know, as we grow and as our reputation expands, some more people are, more interested in having us around. And, I know Tegan's still not afraid to go knocking door to door if he sees a good spot. So, the possibilities are truly endless, especially with the amount of support that we have through all those sponsors and more importantly, the riders and the community, how well everything has been received. It's just been pretty overwhelming, at least for me. Every time I get up there and I see how many people show up, I don't know about how you guys feel, but it's overwhelming for me just to see the support and how much buzz that we're creating. You know, it's we're on the other side of the fence, but I know that there's a lot of buzz at the local and the national level around tour right now. So that's got to make you feel good, you and Kim, for sure.
Oh, it does. It does. And we enjoy. We love the little kids out there, and mm-hmm. And we're out there, you know, helping in the hills and back in the woods. It's funny what these little kids say out there.
Yeah. I'm sure you've seen it all.
Yeah, it's they make you laugh, but they're having a good time. And even the youth and the bigger guys, I've seen a big improvement in the extreme section from the guys last year to this year already, getting over the tires and logs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just don't think our guys were exposed to it and girls are exposed to it. But I think they're building confidence every race and getting better.
Good point.
You know?
Yeah, you have a very interesting perspective on race day. That's another call for another night. But yeah, you're down there in the extreme section usually, right?
Yep. I sometimes I'm there with a few guys. Sometimes I'm there with a lot. But it's keeping me getting me back in shape.
And, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're staying out there long days, hot days.
Yeah.
But it is fun and we just hope people enjoy it.
Nice. Nice. Well, I think you've definitely, you're off to a great start. I'm biased, obviously, but, people are loving it. So, your hard work does not go unnoticed. And, if you guys don't know who Todd is, he's not too shy, but you know, if you see him out in the pits, he's the tall guy with the curly hair.
Tegan's dad.
Yep. Tegan's dad. Kim is Tynan's mom.
You might see
Kim down at sign up. She's usually like that's mainly her job. You might see her at the gate, but then again, like you said, you'll see Todd down there. He'll be the guy waving the yellow flag. I'll put it to you that way, standing somewhere near the entrance or the exit of the extreme section.
That's me.
Yeah, so give him a shout out, especially if you're a rider and you're crashed out there, and he was the one who helped you. Give him a shout out. But again, that is Todd Temple. Mr. Todd, our very own Father of the series, I guess, is the best way to put it. So that's I don't know what we don't really have an official tagline for you. Sometimes I call you Track Boss Todd, but
very nice to say.
I could call you a lot of other things too, but I'll stick to that.
I've been called a lot worse. That's
All right, Todd. Well, I appreciate you doing this completely unsolicited interview and cooperating with you here for a little over 10 minutes.
Thanks for calling, and I guess I'll see you this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll be heading up. I'll probably head up on Friday afternoon sometime here. Got to figure it all out, but I'll see you then.
Okay, great, buddy.
All right, Todd. See you, man.
I'll talk to you later. All right, have a good night.
Okay, all right. All right, Todd. Okay, bye. Okay, so I just wanted to add this real quick. I'm going to throw this somewhere in here to the podcast. Don't know where, but I was on the phone with Todd, and I wanted to touch on all of our awesome sponsors here. They don't get enough love, but without them, Tour would not be able to keep the wheels turning. So a special shout out to our title sponsor, who would be Mike Beeler's Equipment Services, specialize in heavy equipment sales, service, and rentals and repairs. Check out Mike Beeler for all of your equipment needs. Again, just a big fan of off-road racing, the whole Beeler family, and I can't thank them enough for their support. So again, shout out to Mike Beeler Equipment Services, our title sponsor for this year. And then I'm going to run through them all here in no particular order. Let's see if I got the list here properly here. Hurricane Hills Race, the GP, will also be presented by Lombardo Waste and Recycling. Then we have Wiggins Insurance, who was kind enough to provide our $2,000 pro purse for the Buds Creek doubleheader. Again, shout out to Wiggins. If you have not heard that podcast, tune back into last week's. And then we have DF Mechanical, JT Motorsports, Baird and Rudolph Tire Company, Evans Coolant, Hay Seal Coating, and then we have DF, I already got DF. Then we have Get Tinted, Hicks, Hay, DTM, Coastal Control Electric, Pidox, Slack Hauling, TKS Contracting, FMF Rental. You'll hear all about them here in this conversation with Todd. Then we have WTF, the Wench Training Facility, MP Welding and Metal Services, Corby Fleet, Westchester Mulch Company, Scott Goggles and Optics, then Tiger Craft, FMF, maybe you guys have heard of them, the premier exhaust company in the U.S. of A. Phase Moto, your South Jersey gear supply company. Then you have JDP Suspension, Rocky Mountain ATV MC, Framtrack. And I might have skipped over 405 Equipment Works, but that is my good buddy Cole. And there you have it, folks. That is your list of sponsors there from top to bottom in no particular order, except for Mike Beeler. Big shout out to Beeler and all of the sponsorship that those guys give us. And I think that's going to wrap up all of my shout outs. Don't have anybody else here. Again, this is for the Hurricane Hills GP coming up this weekend, September 14th at Hurricane Hills Motocross Park. Back where it all started. Let's go.